On today's episode of Talkin' Tom, we're headed out to sea with Castaway, starring my Survivor man, Tom Hanks.
Castaway is a 2000 survival film directed by Robert Zemeckis that earned Tom Hanks yet another nomination for Best Actor at the 73rd Academy Awards.
This movie's got it all. Tom Hanks, and more Tom Hanks. Keep listening.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
Happy New Year, Hanksheads!
Happy New Year, 2019.
Oh my gosh.
Sleepy New Year.
First episode of the year.
First, yeah, how was your holidays with the fam? Oh. We have guests tonight.
Yeah, we're coming to you live from a new location just for this episode.
One night only. Featuring two dogs. What are the dogs' names?
Two little cuties named Pedro and Petunia.
That perfectly segues because I think we mentioned in the last episode that I had a cool announcement for the new year.
We got to introduce ourselves.
Oh, you're right. Oh my gosh, we're so far back.
So stay tuned.
New Year's getting crazy.
First of all, welcome to, this is a show we work on called Talkin' Tom,
Pod Hanks Tomcast.
And it's a podcast where we watch Tom Hanks movies and then we talk about them.
Yes.
Hosted by two Tom Hanks super fans. I guess. My name's Josie.
Daniel. You guess?
I guess.
We're so far into have that now.
I think about that sometimes. Like, I don't really know that much about Tom Hanks, though.
It's like this is a Tom Hanks education.
Yeah.
This is like a college course, lecture course.
I just worry that, like, if I met him, I would just be dumb. Like, I wouldn't impress him.
I feel like he seems the kind of person that would, like, find a way to make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Well, he'd have to do a lot of work.
Yeah. Just Tom the therapist.
Anyway, I'm sorry to have interrupted your very important news.
Oh, my cool news is Rachel and I adopted a dog.
Oh, my God.
And her name is Kevin. And she's a little black French bulldog. And she's 3 months old.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so tell me why the name Kevin is a kind of an unusual name.
I think human names are really funny on dogs. Mm-hmm. I thought Kevin was a really funny dog name. I never really met a Kevin I liked. I'm sure there's great Kevins out there.
Okay.
But I've never had great experiences with Kevins. And I thought Kevin was a funny name. And then as we got into things, I was told that female dogs are easier to train.
Oh.
So we're like, we'll get a female dog. And Rachel, I'm going to throw her under the bus. She was like, I don't want a dog. Penis running around.
I would feel the same way.
I never thought about that before, but I guess if you have a small dog. I always had big dogs growing up, so they weren't like crawling over you, but I guess you have a small dog, whatever. So we were like, we're going to get a girl, but we had committed, everyone knew we were getting Kevin, so we stuck with Kevin. And then someone told me that that's actually the joke in Up. There's the bird Kevin, and in the movie, spoiler if you haven't seen the movie Up, it's revealed that it's a female bird. And they still call it Kevin.
Oh, I thought the dog's name was Kevin and Up.
That's Doug.
Oh, Doug.
Kevin's that cool bird.
Oh, cute.
So, yeah, a little Frenchy.
Aw. So what is it like having a new puppy?
You lose a lot of sleep.
Oh, my God.
But it's awesome.
Aw. I still haven't met her yet, but I will meet her soon.
Very soon. She just poops and pees a lot. But now she poops and pees outside instead of inside, which is cool.
What a trendsetter.
Slowly. She actually watched today's movie with me.
She watched Castaway?
Yeah.
What did she think?
She slept through a lot of it, but she was really into the part where Tom Hanks is making fire the first time and he's yelling.
Oh.
For some reason, she was real into that part.
What do you mean? How?
She was just yelling and she was just really like into the screen. She was staring at it.
Holy crap.
She knows what's up.
I love that.
We watched her first movie was Paddington 2.
Not really.
And she's kind of, it's weird. She sort of watches the TV, so I like it.
That is so cute.
We're gonna get along just fine, her and I.
You're gonna be best friends.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for bringing it up. We did watch a movie today.
We did.
Not together.
No,
separately.
Apart.
We watched Castaway.
Yeah.
Which is two separate words, not one like I thought.
Yeah.
Pecho is on by your feet, huh? Cute, he's smelling you. He can smell Kevin, probably.
Probably, yeah. This is a thing I haven't thought about in a while, but...
Anyway, nice. So Have you ever seen Castaway before?
Yeah, I saw Castaway in the theaters.
You did?
As a child, yeah.
2000?
2000, yeah. 2000, yeah, 2000, sounds right.
How old were you?
10.
Oh my God.
Mistake. I had a lot of nightmares.
That was kind of a grown-up movie.
Yeah, I don't know what would have led me to seeing it, why my parents would have taken me, but
I feel this movie was like the hot movie.
Yeah. That's probably why. I think everyone was, it was all over the news, all over entertainment.
Yeah.
Which was on a lot in our house, I think. Mm-hmm. But I just vividly remember having nightmares about the plane crash sequence.
Oh, fuck, dude, yeah.
And I think that was that in the dead body washing up.
I forgot about that scene.
Those, vividly, as a kid, I remember, that was screwy with my brain.
So I didn't see the movie in theaters. I know that we, as a family, we watched it because my neighbors had rented it, a DVD when it was a new release.
Yeah.
And you normally got 2 days, I think, from Blockbuster. So they let us use it the second night, and I remember we watched it.
The con.
And the plane crash scene was horrifying.
It still is pretty horrifying.
Just because you obviously know it's going to happen. So every time he was on a plane, you're like, is this the plane crash?
Yeah, I couldn't remember this time how far, because he rides a plane with a friend the first time.
Right.
And I couldn't remember if that was it at the next time. And I was like, surely there's more setup. Yeah. Well, Castaway, if you've never seen it, what would you say it's about?
Oh, yeah. It's a survival movie. It's a story about a man who gets stranded on a deserted island. And it's about the personal, emotional, physical journey that he goes through, leading to his ultimate rescue, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of a rescue he has to facilitate.
Yeah.
People tried to come for him, but they never found it, so he has to go out of his way to get found.
Yeah.
It's also cool because I remember on the DVD special features as a kid learning that Tom Hanks put on a bunch of weight for the role and then lost a ton of weight for when we time jumped 4 years.
Yeah.
That's basically the movie. We spend about, I don't know, 20-ish minutes.
Yeah, it's not very much.
A little bit of setup to see who he is. He's
Chuck Nolan.
Chuck Nolan. Mm-hmm. He's a FedEx, sort of some type of FedEx higher up type of guy. And he's obsessed with time and efficiency. So he's in Russia setting up things. And we also set up this package delivery from an artist whose sort of logo is these angel wings.
Yeah. Golden rings or something.
Yeah. And that's sort of a through line that's never super fully explained, but we sort of start the movie watching a package for her being delivered to her husband in Russia who's cheating on her. And then we meet Tom.
Wait, how do you know that?
Because when the package is delivered, he kisses, he's like, she's, this woman comes by him and she's like, who is that? And he's like, it's from my wife. And then he kisses the other one.
Oh, I was not paying attention. Wait, that was from the lady?
I think so, yeah. Because it had the wings on the package.
Whoa, okay. A lot of things just happened for me.
Everything just clicked into place.
Yeah, because at the end... Okay, never mind. But cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
I wish I had thought to even connect that.
But so he's just an obsessive dude about the job, and he's got a relationship that's suffering because he can't... He's always about the job.
Yeah, he can't take himself away from it.
He seems like a decent dude, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart guy.
Yeah. Driven.
Yeah, good at his job. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sad. He's in this relationship with Helen Hunt. Kelly Frears, I think is her name. She's a grad student or something. Mm-hmm. She's working on her education. And like you said, their relationship is on the rocks. Not because they're incompatible. It's just that he can't really dedicate the time that she needs for them to be serious.
The man about time can't find time.
Yeah, which is a slightly, an issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, very... Well, it's interesting because they're both super oriented. They're both want to obtain. He's super career-oriented and she's very school-oriented to, mm-hmm. achieve their goals. They just can't seem to find the through line for each other.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's so busy, he has to, get open his little planner to schedule a date with her.
Yeah. And you set up pretty fast. They're sort of last. I mean, we meet a few minor characters that aren't super important, I would say. No. There's one, he has a friend that he works with a lot who has a wife that's suffering, that's being treated for cancer.
Yeah.
And then the last moment we spend with them together is at the airport before he leaves. He's left an event to have to go to something, and they're trying to figure out when they're going to see each other next. And he gives her a box, and I'm assuming is like a is either an engagement ring or a wedding ring type of thing.
Yeah.
And he doesn't propose. He says, "This is we'll open this when I get back."
Yeah.
Which is the setup. As soon as that happens, you're like, well,
oh, here we go. He's not getting back.
Yeah.
He's not coming back from anywhere. Yeah. What would you say the state of their relationship is? Do you think they're just figuring things out?
Yeah, I think it's two people who like need couples therapy. But it's weird, they're not like fighting, or there's not like a... The character flaws, they can't figure out how to make time for each other. But it's not like... You don't blame either one of them. They're just both... Like, you sort of understand like what they're going through. Which I think right. is kind of interesting as a character device, where you're not like, well, he's in the wrong. Like, he's working very hard. She's working very hard.
Yeah.
They just don't have the time yet. But I think you sort of have this idea that they eventually will, maybe.
They'll make it work.
Yeah, so I think you leave them on the... They leave on, like, pretty good terms, I would say.
Yeah, they're basically engaged.
Yeah. And then we get on the plane, that fateful plane. Quick sidebar. How did they get FedEx to sign off for this movie?
Okay, I researched it.
Okay.
They just pitched it. Well, okay, also... Tom Hanks, like, came up with this idea.
Really?
Like, the concept of the story is his. And then him and Robert Zemeckis finished it together.
Oh, that's what I didn't read about. That's
awesome.
Isn't
that crazy? Like, what a renaissance man.
Just killing it.
Yeah. So they approached FedEx, and FedEx was fine with it.
That's crazy. I mean, it doesn't paint FedEx in a bad light. Like, you have a very intense boss that's pretty normal. But, like, right. the idea of, like, a plane, which wouldn't be FedEx's fault. That's, like, a, you know, whatever manufacturer's thing. Mm-hmm. But the idea of, like, a plane crash that kills FedEx employees and scatters packages. Yeah. Though I guess in the end he still delivers one, so.
Yeah, he's there. Loyal.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't even open some of those packages for a while. Yeah. What a weirdo.
There was a commercial, like a Super Bowl commercial. I don't know if it was the same year as this or the year after, when this was kind of big, and it was the joke was... Guy on an island, it might have even been for FedEx or a competitor. Guy on an island gets off and he hasn't opened the package and he delivers it and the person opens it and it's like a first aid, it's like a kit that could have gotten him off the island. It's like a walkie-talkie and a, from what I remember, it's like some type of thing that would have gotten him off the island.
Oh, how funny
is that?
It's
pretty genius, or like a cell phone or something.
What if that was in the box the whole time?
Yeah.
And you just didn't open it on principle? That's like
horrifying.
A Twilight Zone episode or
yeah.
something. So I guess... FedEx didn't pay any money to be part of this.
Oh, okay.
Because the people from the movie approached them.
Yeah.
And I also, apparently, applications, like, for people to work at FedEx went up by, like, 35%. Or,
really?
Like, some, like, kind of significant amount.
Yeah.
After this movie came out.
I guess, it sort of makes sense. Having a real brand does somehow make it feel even more real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's something you see every day.
I think the timeline of this movie was like 6 years-ish from when Tom Hanks like came up with the idea
okay.
to when they were like promoting it and it was ready to come out in theaters.
Okay.
So like a pretty long time. But I read an interview where Tom said that he had read an article about how they fly, FedEx flies, like, a certain number of packages over the South Pacific 3 times a day. They make that flight 3 separate times with packages. And he was like, what would happen if that one of those planes went down? Like, what happens to all those packages?
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Huh.
So I think, I mean, you and I can only think of a world where, like, FedEx and UPS existed.
Yeah.
But they had to have been new at some point, right?
Well, that means also that... Like, mid-90s, if you pitched it around then, like, that's right before or right at the launch of, like, the internet coming to, like, a lot of, like, you know, regular consumer households and, like, Amazon starting, like, the advent of, like, online ordering. So it's sort of, like, right before FedEx becomes the everyday thing for most of us, where, like, we see a package, you know. We have, those of us in apartments see them constantly. So,
right.
Huh. Weird to think about.
It is weird.
We've always had a FedEx world. Now we're becoming a FedEx podcast because we've said FedEx so many times. Like, become aware how many times I'm saying it.
Oh my gosh. It's like not even a real word anymore. You say it so much. So what do you think we learn about... Well, I mean, I guess the movie is a... It's like a typical, like, Survivor-style, you got to see this like overweight man mm-hmm. who is used to just having things at his convenience.
Yeah. You immediately.
He gets food whenever he wants it. He's never worried about being cold or all whatever things.
It's like the most ill-equipped person that could happen to type of thing.
Yeah. And he's suddenly stranded on this island that is by no means paradise.
Yeah. Well, first, can we just talk about that plane crash?
Okay, sure, yeah.
So we sort of find out at the end why it
went It's like down. Something inside one of the packages exploded or something.
Yeah, but it's a pretty... Zemeckis does a really good job of setting up the tension because you know it's coming.
Right.
And he doesn't kid around that you know it's coming. But they sort of just build this idea of like they're hanging out and he goes to the bathroom and he's sort of injured. And then
he doesn't
just,
have his shoes on.
Yeah, has his shoes off. An immediate explosion just sets thing where he's like holding onto the bathroom for his life.
Oh, yeah.
And then absolute chaos. And he had gotten a gift from, what was his fiance's?
Kelly.
From Kelly. There was a pocket watch. And he's like strapped into a thing and he's got like a life preserver in one hand or like a raft, but he sees the pocket watch. And so he goes to get the pocket watch instead of his life jacket and everything just goes to heck. And one of the captains gets thrown and cuts his head open and he's bleeding and can't stand up and it's pure chaos.
Yeah.
And there's that horrifying shot through the window as you realize you think you're seeing clouds and you realize it's not clouds. It's the ocean.
Oh, it's the ocean. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's something that kind of upset me when I was watching. They kept saying, get the life jackets and stuff. Yeah. But you think, I mean, the plane's, like, obviously going down. Why were they all still in the cockpit? I mean,
I assume it's just to, because I think it almost looks like they're, I don't know. I think it's to try and level up as much as they can toward the end. That there's, like, certain manual things.
Yeah. Because you'd think, I mean, they should have all gone to the boat. The thing that Tom had.
Yeah, I don't know in a weird cargo plane like that where the best place to be is and if it would matter because they go down and it just fills up with water like almost immediately.
But I feel like those guys all died on impact.
I think so, yeah.
I'm sure like...
because water comes through the front cockpit.
But either way...
Yeah.
Chuck Nolan survives.
Yeah, he does survive.
All he dramatically manages to take with him. He doesn't have his watch... That little pocket knife we saw that he had earlier.
Yeah, he leaves it in the keys. Car.
Oh. What a sad thing.
Yes. And then we're on the island.
Yeah.
And we've got like an hour and some change of like next to no dialogue. And that's sort of, I think, the greatest achievement of the movie is you basically have a silent movie that has to be carried by a single person. Doesn't flashback. It's just... Tom Hanks on an island.
Yeah.
And boy, does it work.
Yeah. I mean, you feel it. There's no soundtrack until he gets back home, right? Yeah.
It's just silent. He talks on occasion to himself or to things, and eventually Wilson, the volleyball. But it's kind of nuts. The only other movie I can think of that really pulls it off is WALL-E, which has zero dialogue the first 45 minutes.
I love
that. That's tough to pull off in a movie.
Yeah, hard to keep someone, you want to know what's going to happen.
Well, I genuinely don't know any other actors I can think of off the top of my head that could carry a movie on their own like that. Their physical performance is the entire thing.
There have been similar movies to come out, right?
Yeah.
Martian.
What was it?
The Martian.
Well, yeah. Gravity. But Martian had a lot of like side characters.
You're right.
Throughout. I think there's like Buried with Ryan Reynolds where he's in a coffin.
Yeah.
That works is really good.
What's that Blake Lively shark surfing movie?
Shallows? Oh, The Shallows. I actually really like The Shallows.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Same type of thing. But didn't it have flashbacks? Am I crazy?
I can't remember. I watched it on a plane. Yeah, I don't
know. I just think Castaway is sort of unique because like there's no other characters. We're not seeing anyone else working for him. We have no idea what the outside world is. Perceives what happens.
Yeah.
We're entirely on the island.
I hadn't even considered that. That we don't know that they... I mean, we do the math the same way he does the math.
Yeah.
Like, it's been 4 years.
Yeah, because we assume we're like, well... We assume the hero gets rescued.
Yeah.
But then there's the how, and there's a sort of great thing where we spend the first chunk, we kind of get the fundamentals of the island. There's coconuts, and he opens some packages and has some basics, and he builds a fishing net, and he's doing this and that, and... He's got a one of the through lines is he's got a toothache, and he's got to get the toothache out.
I don't
like that scene. I remember that scene pretty
harrowing.
And he finds one of the pilots, and he buries him. And the shoes on the pilot don't fit, so he makes them into, like, slippers. And it's just, like, bad thing after bad thing. Like, creative uses of things, and pretty smart things to find that don't feel, like, movie-fied, where you're like, oh, that's really convenient to find.
Like the fishnets in the dress or something.
Like that's a funny way to like give him where you're like, you have to believe he survived.
Yeah.
The ice skates are the only thing just because nowadays I can't think of anyone receiving ice skates. But I mean, that's just a hobby I'm not accustomed to.
Yeah.
I guess with Amazon nowadays, actually.
Anything.
If you were going to go down on a plane, on an Amazon plane, it would be, who knows what you'd find.
It's okay. What are like the last like three packages that you received?
It's all dog stuff.
Oh.
It'd be very useless.
So you'd be fucked.
Yeah. And like a movie.
Yeah.
Maybe a book.
Mine would be, I just bought those lights. Like the Philips Hue.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got me that. Daniel got me a really nice gift for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
At home. Google Home.
Can you talk to your lights now?
Not yet. I didn't buy a hub. I don't know what I was
thinking. Oh, yeah.
You know, so stupid.
No, that's the part where you're like, oh, that's
because. Anyway, yeah. So it would just be like a bunch of stuff like that.
You wouldn't get on the island.
Yeah. Couldn't use electricity on the island.
But I feel like... And then I think the cut to 4 years later happens after he knocks himself out, right? With taking out his tooth?
Yes.
And that... I had sort of forgotten that we jumped that far ahead.
It seems kind of abrupt.
Yeah. But I think it works.
Mm-hmm.
Because you sort of just... I don't know. There's like a... Sort of strips hope away in a thing where you're like... Oh.
And he is, like, weathered, and he is living on that island.
He's like, pretty buff. He's, like, in shape.
Oh, my God. Skinny. He lost... Fuck, I don't remember.
It was, like, 50 or 60 pounds.
He gained 50 pounds.
Okay.
On top of what he already weighed, and then I think he lost...
Like, I wonder what order he did it in.
He gained the weight first.
Okay. Probably better, because he had to get into a little bit of shape, I would assume.
Yeah. They took a year off.
That's crazy.
For him to... And they filmed What Lies Beneath in between.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
With the same crew and everything.
That's
so that everyone
really
still
smart.
Had jobs.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Huh. That's really cool, actually.
Yeah.
Working... Since we both work in production, that's like a really... That would be a great thing to find out. Like you're going to film a movie, film another movie in between.
Yeah.
Keep your job, come back, finish the other movie.
Yeah. Also, like, just the mental, like... Having to be able to do that as a direct, like separate your projects, I feel like would be really challenging.
But it sort of works with that split that's like two different movies in it.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing, but like two different like states of mind.
Yeah.
And what sort of changed in that 4 years?
I mean, he's a pro at the island. He can spear a fish in one shot. He eats fish raw. He doesn't even cook it.
That's right. I'd still cook it. I think. Maybe I wouldn't.
Wouldn't that, like, fuck your stomach up, I feel? But
maybe get used to it.
Yeah. It's like sushi, I guess.
Yeah.
And then one really kind of sad thing is we discover that he had considered suicide.
Yeah.
As a way out.
We talked about in Forrest Gump that Robert Zemeckis is like a very... nostalgic and sort of on the nose director, and I was sort of surprised how much this movie just lets like the visuals tell you the story, because you don't really get the description of what he did till like a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Where he like tells Wilson like, oh, I thought, you know, I had to see what would happen.
Yeah. And then again with that guy,
yeah, where he kind of comes back and hammers it home, but for a minute you just have to like figure it out, which is kind of cool. And they spend a lot of time in that the second chunk with Wilson, establishing Wilson the volleyball as like his only friend, which is both like really funny and also super sad.
So how was Wilson formed?
He was one of the things, and Chuck cuts his hand trying to, I think, working on a coconut or trying to make a tool, and he cuts his hand and in frustration grabs the ball and throws it. And then kind of paints with his blood Wilson's face.
And Wilson ends up becoming kind of like another character.
Supporting character. Sure.
I mean, I honestly, like, I kind of hate it when people talk about movies and TVs and they're like, New York City was almost like the third character. Like, fucking.
The city was a character.
Yeah.
I feel like any good. Like, I feel like if you're telling, I don't know, if you have a location that's super integral to the plot, it should feel like an extension of it. But to say that seems like to discredit it, because you're like, well, more we're going for, like, you're like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, you think of just some, like, first year film student who's like, I fucking hacked it, dude. I figured it out.
I read this once.
But Wilson becomes a companion.
And he's sort of our surrogate, where he can tell Wilson things that there's no other way to, like, have him say out loud.
So what do you think Wilson's, like, personality is?
I feel like he's sassy.
Yeah, he's kind of like a nag. Well, because Chuck is always kind of like, yeah, I know, yeah. Wilson. Like, he gets all pissed at him. Which I kind of like. I read something how they had lines written for Wilson, and they'd have someone read them.
For him to react to?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, he probably was, like, very welcome.
Yeah.
Like, finally someone to act with.
What a strange set it must have been to be on. Just one person
all just the logistics of it, too. Like, he never gets a break.
Yeah.
He's in every scene. Yeah. Right?
I didn't even know. There's, like, maybe some cutaways.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's nuts. How do you even get a break?
And everything's from his perspective. I don't know if we spend any time not in his perspective.
No.
From even off the island.
No.
Every view, every vista of the island is from him. Like, when we get our first full glimpse of the island, the first time he takes the raft out and sort of sees it.
Oh.
So I guess we can kind of move. Basically, he spends a little more time on the island and then decides that it's been 4 years. He's got to make an attempt.
Yeah. And well, he tried getting away before.
Yeah.
Because he saw that buoy or something out there with a light on it.
Was it? Yeah. Like, it might have been a ship. He wasn't sure.
Yeah. And we discovered there's, like, this, what is that, like, the wave break? Or, like, there's a bunch of water, obviously, surrounding the island. But there's a cluster of waves that are, like, impossible to get over.
Yeah.
Every time he tries, he gets, like, hurt.
So, and then a piece of, is it like a porta potty?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
He finds, it's, like, washed up on, and so he decides he's going to use that. It sort of catches in the wind, and he kind of feels it catching the wind, and I think that's when he gets the idea that he can use this to get over that patch that has always stopped him. Which is sort of, it's weird to think about, because if you haven't done a lot of swimming in the ocean, the idea of, like, why wouldn't you just try hard to get by it seems like, you're like, why don't you just try harder type of thing. But it is insanely difficult to get, or when you get pulled out too far, when you're, like, swimming in the ocean and you can't get back in, like, no matter how. And it takes all of your strength, and you get dehydrated, and you, it's a whole mess of things.
Yeah.
And I like that they don't tell you that. They just sort of expect, you have to, like, understand what he's in. And he gets sunburnt, and it's gnarly.
I think something that, it's so sad that we know he was at one point ready to give up.
Yeah.
And then he made it out of that, which is amazing in and of itself.
3 years, too.
Oh, my God, it's so much time. And, like, nobody's coming. Like, he did the math of the square miles or whatever of, like, search area. Yeah,
it's the state of Texas.
Yeah, like an impossible task. So he eventually makes it over that break of waves, like that big chunk of water. And then what? Like, what's his plan?
Well, I think he even talks to Wilson about that, where he's just like, it's better. It's, like, it's this or, like, what else is there?
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy because without really saying it, which is sort of strange. He spends a lot of the movie looking at a picture in that pocket watch of
Kelly.
So we know that she's sort of been his strength to survive, this chance that he can get back to her.
His only real reason to get off the island.
Yeah. And so as he does that, that sort of is the stakes on the line, besides his life. This idea that, like, maybe they'll find happiness again.
Yeah.
And so he does. He builds his freaking raft. He heads off into the water. Everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
The raft's falling apart. His sail flies away. Wilson falls off. And he has a rope attached to the raft, and he can't get the raft to move with him to get Wilson. And he has to decide, is it worth risking not being able to get back to the raft? Because he's also really weak at this point, I feel like it's implied. Mm-hmm. Like, he's sunburned.
He has no food or water on that raft.
Yeah, he's out of water. His water comes from the rain he's collecting.
Yeah, so he's making a literal, he's making a very obvious choice at that point. between the safety of what he knows,
yeah,
and the chance of getting rescued.
So we lose Wilson, but then a giant ship appears.
Yeah, and that nice little whale.
Oh yeah, I like the whale part.
Blows on him or something.
Very strange.
That is so scary. Think of how big a whale is. Oh my god.
Just think about. I kept thinking about open water, like on this wooden raft.
Not for me.
And I'm glad they sort of cut us a break. Like things are going bad, but they don't add like a
shark.
Yeah, something easy. They would have been like, okay, we get it. Things are bad.
A monsoon.
So he's rescued, and then we're back to reality. But it's not a happy ending.
Life has moved on without him.
Which is crazy, because again, you're like, we know he's going to get rescued, but how? And then you get back, and you're like, oh my gosh, sweet reunion. No.
No.
It's been 4 years.
She married Big.
Yeah.
From Sex in the City. Fuck that guy, man.
But it's also important, like, she, like, we learn as the ending kind of plays, like, she gave up her everything she was going for to, like, try and find him with everyone. Like, her life, she says her life, she put everything on hold.
Yeah.
To find him.
She couldn't finish her studies.
And they couldn't find him. And so she moved on and, like, found who, she, like, had to re-find herself, which is, like, really dark, but also kind of cool in regards to, like, she figured her life out again. Like, she had to, like, rebuild it, and
she did what Chuck did.
Yeah, they both had to do it. So we kind of get the scene when they come back. He's on a plane with FedEx is flying him back, and they're having a big ceremony to, like, welcome him back and this and that, which must be crazy. I haven't even talked to anyone in 4 years, and suddenly you're being, like, mobbed by...
I know. I kind of wanted to see they jumped to, like, 4 weeks later or something when he's having that big reception.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what the immediate... Like, him getting on that boat. Like, what does he say?
Have you seen Captain Phillips?
Yes.
I just picture it.
Just drop that in. Yeah.
Just sad Tom.
Crying.
It probably would have been, like, stressful to watch. Just someone, like, struggling. There's little moments where we kind of see him, like, in the hotel room. He can't sleep on his bed. He's sleeping on the floor. When he looks at, like, the crab that's been cooked. Ugh, and like
they have the fucking audacity to serve this man seafood.
I want to know what the public knows. Like, has he told them how he's... I'm assuming he's told them how he survived and, like, what he did.
Yeah.
He's sort of like a hero at this point.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy to serve him crab. Like, that must be, like, a insulting. Big inside joke.
Yeah, someone's like, we're going to fuck with this guy.
Crab. but we sort of spend a little bit of time with him just kind of getting back into the swing of things, but also, like, experiencing the change in the world. And he's supposed to meet with Kelly, and she backs out. And we meet her. She sends her husband comes in to explain stuff. And it's weird because you feel bad, like you're mad, but then you get this sort of great scene where he, like, watches her go to the car, and you just watch that she's having, like, a crazy breakdown.
Yeah, it's understandable, but it is. It's one of those things where you're like, ugh, like, that's just sad.
I'm glad that they do it like that, because it could have been really easily played as, like, either, I don't know, she's moved on, and, like, she's now the enemy type of, you know, a really bad type of twist thing, or, I guess that's really the only way you can do it.
Well, they explore that show Manifest, that NBC show.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, kind of that.
Really?
People coming back where it's, like, she got remarried or whatever, but she, like, hides the whole thing from her husband who came back from the dead or, like, just, like, ew.
Okay. Oh, so they take it to, like, that level.
Yeah.
Then we get their sort of, we finally get the Chuck and Kelly reunion moment.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, like, from an emotional standpoint, it's, like, the biggest, like, payoff of the thing. It's tough. It sort of puts you through the ringer of everything. Because you're, like, excited to see what'll happen. But then you also know, like, where she's at now.
Yeah. They both acknowledge that they're the loves of each other's lives.
Yeah. And they share a big kiss. And then there's a brief moment where you think, like, oh, they're going to go off together. And then they both realize that that can't happen, that they've both, they're different people now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because it's set up like almost the ultimate romance where it's pouring rain, they've kissed, he's leaving, and she starts to chase after him, and he throws the car in reverse and jumps out, and they kiss again in the rain really passionately.
That was really romantic.
Yeah, I was like, in my mind, I don't remember this being the ending, but I guess it's a happy ending, that makes sense. And they get in the car, they're going to go away together, and immediately they're like, no.
We can't do this.
And then he just pulls back into the driveway. Freaking sad. But it is also sad. I don't think a happy ending works.
And it is kind of a happy ending in a way, because the next scene is Chuck Nolan returning the package that he'd been harboring and couldn't open.
The Angel Wing package.
Yeah.
Which we never see the contents of.
We never do. And then he's at a literal crossroads.
Yeah. The visual of the metaphors.
Yeah, he's got two choices at the end of the movie, to follow the pretty lady where the package came from, or to go build a new life.
And he looks back in her direction and kind of smiles.
So. I mean, and if she's single because her husband cheated on her or whatever, it's...
But she said, what's her 4 years been up to?
I don't know, she seemed chill as hell.
Yeah, great dog.
Yeah, she's like an independent woman. She like works with cool steel and stuff.
Drives a pickup truck?
Yeah.
Man, I'd like to pet a dog after 4 years. Can you imagine not petting a dog for 4 years?
I can't.
That's actually the worst part of the thing, now that I think about it.
This is the deepest tragedy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, what would you miss the most?
As of today, Kevin.
Oh, cute.
And probably like Taco Bell or something.
Yeah. I would miss like the feeling of when you're like watching a show and you're so tired and you fall asleep and the show's on. Like that feeling.
Movie theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, and Rachel, I guess.
Oh, right. I'd miss Rachel, if you're listening, too.
Rachel, sorry. Yeah, I miss you, too. She understands, though. I think she feels the same about Kevin.
Cute.
But, yeah.
So, that's Castaway.
That's Castaway.
Pretty good movie.
It's a pretty good movie.
I mean, something kind of, I think, interesting to kind of pull back and think about is that this movie came, like, December of 2000, right? Like, very end of the year. It was an incredibly hyped movie.
Awards season.
And just the production of it. Like, the fact that it took so long to make, and knowing that they took all this time in between so Tom could gain the weight or lose the weight. Like, it's kind of a marvel. Yeah. I don't think it really anything like that had been done before.
It's weird. It's like this character drama on, like, a blockbuster scale.
Right. And it's a blockbuster budget and everything. But it's just one guy. Like, how do you even sell that movie? Who's like, okay, we're going to need $90 million.
And it's literally, I think, Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get the director of Back to the Future and Forrest Gump. And yeah. You get Tom Hanks.
He'd kind of proven himself at this point.
Yeah.
The only, freaking like,
Woody.
Black spot, really, in his career, well, Bonfire of the Vanities and,
But even that was, like, before his, like, 90s run of Do No Wrong.
That Thing You Do didn't make that much money. But it didn't, like, lose money.
Yeah, that's, like, less... I don't think that's remembered... That's a weird one because it's less a... I mean, now, like, the DVD cover has Tom on it, but I think it wasn't, like, a Tom Hanks movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made it, but it wasn't, like, his... He wasn't the starring person
type thing. Well, and another thing to consider, too, is just, like, the... Like, in the zeitgeist right now... Or back then, Survivor, the TV show, the game show.
Was it out then?
Only, like, May of that year.
Oh, wow.
So they'd been working on this movie for 6 years, and then all of a sudden, just pure coincidence.
Hit the boom. Survivor, I wonder if people knew it was coming, because I'm sure it was, like, sort of the talk about this big production.
I wonder.
If, like, the networks were like, what if we just throw this, see if this could, like, capitalize.
I wonder.
What network is Survivor?
CBS.
On? Who made this movie? Who produced this movie? I want to look it up. You think? Crazy.
I feel like it was like almost a bad thing for Castaway.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not the movie ended up being pretty timeless, but think about that. Like, you spend all this time and money working on a concept that you feel is pretty fucking unique. It's the survivor story. It's like Gilligan's Island and...
As a drama.
Yeah, but way more serious. It doesn't have the... I even read an article where I think Robert Zemeckis was saying something specific, like, we didn't want to rely on things like a hot mermaid showing up on the beach. And, like, those... It was about real things.
Yeah. Super grounded in reality. And then taken by reality television.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of scary, I bet. I mean, they, like, put a lot of work into that.
Yeah.
Turns out there's room for both.
Yeah.
Castaway made a ton of money and was a huge... Hit.
That, I'm trying to think. I saw a lot of movies as a kid and would go to the theater a decent amount, but for the family to all go was like a thing. So I can only imagine what it was like on television, the talk about Castaway.
Yeah.
To get like mom and dad to the movie. Right. Usually it was like a one of us will take Daniel, so he'll shut up type of thing.
Well, I love those type of movies that are like...
sort of event movie.
And like, what would you do? Like...
we're in like... oh, yeah, in terms of...
yeah, like how would you survive?
Yeah.
Oh, but you were... what were you talking about? Like,
well, I'm talking about like, it was a whole family. We live now in like where there's an event movie every few months. Like we have Marvel and Star Wars. Right. And comic book movies galore, where there's like a huge movie that everyone... that's going to be the movie everyone talks about. And same with like TV now, with stuff on Netflix where like everyone has access to it. But I do wonder, like, a movie like Castaway would be that movie where like you want to see it, you want to talk about it because everyone's talking about it type of thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's the epitome of the blockbuster, but such a weird movie to have that.
And it's weird that it was the holiday movie. It was like December. Yeah. I mean, it all worked, but who would have thought, man?
Played it well.
I also read some interesting trivia that one of the writers, part of his research was he went to an island for 4 or 5 days, something like that, and he did everything. This was before the script was written. Mm-hmm. So he had to figure out how to open up a coconut, and he had to figure out how to, like, whatever. And he had a volleyball that he, like, became friends with, and that's how Wilson was developed.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that crazy? Like, it was, like, real hands-on.
You had to, like, sort of get to the mental, like, just a taste in that direction.
Like, it's not, none of it was I mean, it was obviously a movie, so it's manufactured, but it's, like, almost just, like, the logistics of all of it is almost as exciting to me as the movie. Like, think about how many people work on a movie? Like, 200 people?
At least.
They're all on that island. Do they sleep there? They take a boat home every day. The island that they filmed at was in Fiji. It's, like, crazy.
Yeah, I bet that I have to dive into the Blu-ray special features and see, like, what... if there's, like, an in-depth documentary about making it, because I bet that's really
fascinating. I feel like there is, because I've kind of, like, vaguely remember watching something.
I do, too. I remember seeing, like, cameras on the beach for some reason, but it's been so long.
Oh, what a feat, though. Like, a technological feat.
Would you have anything... I mean, it's we're gushing about it, which means, yet again, we agree. But is there anything that sort of didn't age well for you or, like, took you out of things or that you didn't like in the movie?
Well, okay. And maybe I'm, like, not, like, speaking about this in the right way. I think the movie's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's honestly that, like, the story doesn't hold up to me, or it's just, like, not...
yeah.
Like, Forrest Gump was more exciting to me.
It's a pretty base level story.
Yeah.
It's like the basic definition of stakes.
Yeah.
The basic emotional involvement of the characters.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of time. They're in love. They get a little trouble. Here's his friend.
Yeah. It's almost easier for me to kind of like respect and admire just the production value.
Yeah.
Because that is so cool to me and so interesting.
Maybe that is the blockbuster part of it.
Where yeah.
It's sort of the spectacle,
like
the
Boyhood.
Visceral nature of it takes you in versus the
actual story resonance. Is really not... Yeah, you mean take him off basic. The island and like what's there? I mean, yeah. That's the whole point of the movie. But
well, that's sort of the... he's just a person that's sort of obsessed with his job and time and then is in a place that...
where he doesn't have either of those things.
Yeah.
Who is he?
But like what is he... he learns...
what does he learn?
What? Yeah.
That he loves Kelly?
That's more important? He knew that from the beginning. Maybe. But that's a crazy punishment to learn just that.
What does he say? Like, we live and die by the clock or something?
Yeah.
He learns
die by time or something.
That's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I think the basic structure plot-wise... structure's not the right word. But the basic plot is just super thin. It relies on... again, on Tom Hanks, and in that regard, it succeeds. But if you break it down, like if you read this as a book, I think it would be pretty stale.
Right. Do you think the movie changes if we don't see him get off the island? If we just see him make his big final escape and then that's it?
I don't think it would work. They spend too much time. I mean, they spend like 20 minutes. They set up a story that would be unsatisfying if we didn't see the outcome.
Yeah.
Even if he ended up dying.
Yeah.
I feel like there's the obsession with time and efficiency and end results, that if we didn't get an end result to things, would be unsatisfying.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably a way they could set it up where it being ambiguous worked, but I don't think the way it's structured now would work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some... The characters are pretty thin. Like, he's, like we were saying, defined by time. But he's, like, a decent person, but, like, I want to know more about him. I thought we'd learn a little more about him on the island, but we really don't.
No, because it's all set up of how hard the island is to work and live on. And then he fixes that.
So maybe it's thin so that people can just become him as they watch. Where they sort of put your problems on top of it. Yeah. He's the surrogate, like we talked about with kind of Wilson being it too. But or it's just sort of this base level because then you can relate to him the easiest.
Well, and of course everyone has the same question of like, think of how horrible that would be. Like, no wonder he's talking to a volleyball. Like, no wonder he misses the volleyball so much when he thinks he's lost him the first time. No wonder he wanted to throw himself off the cliff. Like, you make those leaps yourself. You don't need them to be made for you.
Which I like that, though. I think where the script succeeds is on the island because it lets so much of the visuals of the movie and his performance tell the story, except for the moments where he has to explain something. But it just lets you, like, live in it and, like, sort of try and understand where he's at versus... it sort of develops him there versus the stuff back in the States that do less.
Yeah.
It's a little manipulative, but not as crazy as... I came back into this expecting... I was like, I think I remember it being a pretty manipulative movie emotionally, but it wasn't as crazy as I'd remembered.
That's good.
In terms of where it's like, oh, this is the part where I'm sad. It actually does tension really well. It's long. Like it was like, what, 2 hours and almost 2.5 hours?
2 hours, 20 minutes, something.
It didn't feel like it, though. Like, it felt... You feel the length of, in terms of the island, which I think is intentional, but never felt, like, boring or...
Yeah. It
always felt correctly paced.
Yeah.
Some of the CGI has aged kind of poorly.
Apparently, all those night scenes, they shot those day for night.
Really?
Yeah, and they CGI the stars and stuff.
Yeah.
You could really tell that first... That first nighttime shot, ooh. But also then it's like, probably it was really dangerous to be on the island at night.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's probably why they did that. Or like...
Or maybe they went in the control, or it's freezing.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? I guess we can probably find out. Who knows? It's probably written about.
Yeah. I mean, it was cool to see Tom acting with himself. Right?
Yeah.
That's like a cool thing that he did.
It's sort of like an actor showcase.
Yeah.
And it's a dang good one.
Yeah. I like that.
Do you have a favorite Tom moment in this?
Ooh. I mean, the fire scene was pretty good.
He yells yells fire and his voice cracks.
Yeah.
He's like, fire!
And then he like dances around and he's like, I made fire! Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I like that.
It's like a lot of moments I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end, I feel good. I finished the movie.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I came away with like a huge message.
Right. And I don't feel the urge to watch it again.
Yeah.
For a while.
Take a little break.
It's the kind of movie where someone's like, I've never seen Castaway. And you're like, oh.
Let's watch it. Yeah.
You've never seen it?
It's enjoyable.
Where are we?
It's weird. It stuck with me over the years in weird little idiosyncrasies and moments. But
Wilson has got to be one of the most like notable.
Yeah. This is... So my... One of my first cell phones was like a Motorola Sliver. It was like one of the Razors, but like an offshoot. And you could make custom ringtones. And I figured out how to make them. And so I ripped my DVD of Castaway and I stripped the audio from it. And I made where the music swells. And he's like, Wilson, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Wilson, as my ringtone.
You did?
When my parents called as like a joke.
Wow.
It's really funny. When you're a teenager, and now I'm like, wow, that's really sad. People are probably like, what is wrong with that kid?
Yeah, so would it loop or just played what?
Yeah, just play. It was, I kept it. It was like, you know, 30 seconds. It's just like the length of the phone call. Of like the part, it's sort of the music that he just goes like, and he starts to yell for Wilson and he apologizes and screams for him.
Oh.
That was a ringtone. So, wow. What that says about me, I don't know. You can take what you will from it.
That is so crazy. I just like the idea of like, something being so, like, people know that. Remember my dad's cell phone, ringtone was the Office theme song for a while. Yeah. And he loved it. We thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
He like paid 99 cents to download it, you know?
I didn't have a credit card, so I was like, how am I going to, I want a ringtone. How am I going to do it? So
I'm going to figure out how to make, it. Wow.
Yeah. I would say the Wilson is super. You scream Wilson, I'm sorry. Pretty much any, I think most people would recognize it.
Yeah. And just the visual, I think there was a moment, they talk about it in the episode of the Nerdist podcast that Tom did, the first one, I think. The first or the second episode that he did, how someone was at like a Mariners game dressed up like him in Castaway, and Tom Hanks like saw it, and then he remembered it, and they looked it up on the podcast, and he was like amazed that YouTube like had it. He was like, yeah, that's that. That was it. You know, he just
immediate. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the most memorable roles for sure.
Yeah. It's weird. Cause I have my issues that we sort of talked about, but at the same time, like it, I think it sets out to do exactly what it accomplishes.
I can't like knock it for anything.
Yeah, it's really entertaining. It makes you feel a lot of things.
The premise is intriguing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, I do want to see this. The execution is
great.
Yeah.
Tom is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just sort of, it's weird. It's hard to fill up, you know, the podcast with like things to talk about in it, because it sort of is this basic thing. And maybe intentionally so.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot to break down.
Right. No, I think it's just, and it was probably meant, I mean, think of it being released Christmas time, right before he got nominated, but he didn't win.
Yeah, I think that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
I believe you. At this point, if you're like, Tommy's going to have an Oscar, I'm like, yeah. No,
yeah, that tracks. Sense. Well, so, I mean, how do you rate this movie out of 5?
I would probably do a 3.5 to 4.
Yeah.
I'd fall in there.
It's just solid mid-range. I'd say 3. And it's not even like because it's bad. I mean, 3 or 5. It's not like it's bad. It's just It's just a movie.
It's just you heard it here, guys. It's just a movie.
It's just a movie.
No, I think that tracks. That's a good phrase. That tracks.
Well, does that sum up our discussion of Castaway?
I think so. That's Castaway. The movie Castaway with Tom Hanks.
So then that means naturally it's time for the first one of the year. Whoa. Hanks happenings. I don't want to bang on the table and scare the dogs.
Bark. They could help.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
Lots of exciting news. The Mr. Rogers movie, the untitled Mr. Rogers Project, officially has a name. It's called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is a mouthful.
Yeah. Good name.
Yeah.
Good name. Did you see the documentary?
No, we keep talking about it. I should watch. Is it out?
You could, you can rent it now, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
But it might be cool to hold off, and once, like, right around that would be
double feature.
Good double feature.
Okay.
And you go in with the know-how.
That comes out this year, right?
I believe so.
And then I did just see a story about Rita and Tom were at an In-N-Out in California, and it was right before Christmas, and so everyone's taking pictures. He's saying Merry Christmas, and then he bought everybody's food.
Where were we?
At the In-N-Out. Where were we? You were in Oklahoma.
I guess you wouldn't be in In-N-Out. No, they have... No,
I can eat French fries.
Okay, yeah.
French fries with onions.
Put them on bread. Dang, that would have been cool.
He even, like, bought the food for people in the drive-thru, like, went out
really?
There. What a cool dude. Whatever. I'm totally eat that shit up. I know it's like, he knows what he's doing, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
We need people like him.
Yeah, he's in a unique position of power, and I think he's like, I'm going to be a good guy. A real superhero. Wow, the Tom Hanks Cinematic Universe.
Who's in the Tom Hanks Avengers?
Ethan Hawke. I like Ethan Hawke.
Okay. I was thinking more like characters.
Oh.
Like Tom Hanks characters.
They meant real people.
Why Ethan Hawke?
I think Ethan Hawke's sort of the Tom Hanks of the indie world.
Interesting.
Dude kills it at everything, and I've only heard good stuff about him, so.
Okay. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. The only other Hanks happen I can think of is I got an email from the LA Shakespeare people, and Tom Hanks over Christmas is doing a thing that if you donated to the Veterans Association, the Shakespeare, that put on the Shakespeare plays, he was going to match all the donations.
Oh.
So that was kind of cool.
Wait, why did you get that email and I didn't?
Did I buy the tickets?
You probably did.
I think so.
Wow. So how much did you donate?
You know, I donated all of our earnings from the podcast.
Oh, 100% of the earnings from the proceeds 100% from the podcast.
Went to the... Yeah, it's really good. Felt really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel good about that. Kind of been riding that high for the last few weeks.
Yeah. Wow, good feel for good. You.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, is that it? What's our next movie?
Oh! It's funny you mentioned that. Our next movie. I don't know why I said it's funny you mentioned that. Our next movie is Road to Perdition.
Oh my god.
So.
That's one I've never seen and I know literally nothing about.
That's cool.
The first one in a while.
So that's from 2002. We have, I guess we can give a little bit of, here's what's coming up in 2019. Road to Perdition, Catch Me If You Can.
Ooh.
Which I love.
Yeah, baby.
One of my favorite Spielbergs. The Lady Killers, which is a Coen Brothers movie. The Terminal, another Spielberg.
That's like Castaway, but in an airport.
Yeah, kind of. And then we already did the Polar Express, but, oh Lord. Then after those,
Da Vinci Codes?
To the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's the year of Robert Langdon.
Oh, boy. He also did an IMAX movie called Magnificent Desolation, Walking on the Moon 3D, that he wrote and narrated.
He does a lot of space stuff. He's so cool.
Space and World War II. Awesome.
Well, wow. Cool. I'm excited to do another year, man.
Another year, Hanks.
So, as always, if you're interested in continuing the conversation, you got a Hank's Happenings to share, all that stuff. Oh, and also, if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, we would appreciate it.
Yes.
That helps our podcast get seen. And, yeah. You know.
Thanks to everyone that has.
Yeah, we totally do appreciate it. And it's so nice. Nice to know someone's listening.
Anyways, yeah, thanks for listening. I hope you had a really happy new year. Hope your holidays were awesome.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this like your other time of the year, like you've come back and you're going through these, sorry that this seems
sorry, out of place. Sorry, we're so tied into the New Year's thing.
Yeah, really committed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that.
Where
can they find us?
We got a website, talkingtom.com, talking without the G. We got a SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, Friendster, MySpace.
All the above. Pod Hanks Tomcast.
Instagram.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it, right?
I think so.
Well, my name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
Hanks for listening.